When the music fades and all has slipped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that'll bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for inviting us to come into your house today to praise you and worship you and glorify and honor you, Lord. I'm so sorry for the times that I have come to church because it was the right thing to do. Lord, I offer my heart to you, and I just give it all to you, Lord, and ask that you help me to remember to see you in everything that I do, Lord. Let me bring you praise. Let me shout how much I love you to the Lord. You are my Savior. You are my Jesus, and I love you.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the
Nothing compares to the promise that we have in our Jesus. Nothing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for saving me, for reaching down and pulling me out of that miry pit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
What can I give to you? What can I offer to the King? For all the love you've shown, for all your mercy over me, I called your God for saving me. The rock of salvation, my hope is built on nothing less. Morning by morning, how great is your faithfulness. I called your name, you heard my cry. Out of the grave and into life, my heart is yours, my soul is free. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. You gave your life upon the cross. You suffered once for all. You made a way. Jesus, in victory you rose, you made Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me.
Oh, Father God, I thank you for saving each and every one of us, Lord. You have fashioned us and purposed us, each one, for a reason. For your glory, for your honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and reveal to us what you would have us to do. What is your will in our life, each one of us, so that we walk by faith. Walk by faith, Lord, loving you and serving you, to give you the honor and the glory. Amen.
As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we all give a portion of what God has blessed us with a cheerful heart.
Times are hard, times have changed, don't you say? But I keep holding on to you. It's hard to keep the faith alive day to day. Leaning on the strength I found in you. You're the hope of all the earth. You are my hope. You are my strength. You're everything, everything I need. You are my hope. You are my life. You are my hope. Beyond what I can see or comprehend, etching your eternity in me. Nations stream and angels sing, Jesus reigns, and every knee bows down. You're the hope of all the earth. You are my hope. You are my strength. You're everything, everything I need. You are my hope. You are my life. You are my
July 2012, I came to Gibsonburg, and when I first came to town, I asked these questions. The question that I primarily asked was, what is Trinity United Methodist Church known for? And to be honest with you, nobody could really give me an answer, and I wasn't just asking the congregation, I was asking the community. What is Trinity United Methodist Church known for? And that has perplexed me, that has bothered me, I'll be honest with you. I'll be brutally honest with you, it really still bothers me to this day. Because in any organization, the organization needs to be known for what they stand for. And I not only ask about Trinity United Methodist Church, but I ask about the other five churches in this area. And through various community individuals and just the individuals that I met in passing, and I said, what are these churches known for? And nobody could tell me what any of the other churches are known for either. You know, I don't believe that this is any anomaly or any situation that is uncommon within our country. And I'll tell you the reason why. In 2012, Gallup, they issued a poll. And this is what they found, that 77% of all American citizens identify with a Christian religion. And in the Gallup poll, the findings, they state, the United States remains a largely Christian nation. More than 9 in 10 Americans who have a religious identity are affiliated with a Christian religion. The problem is this, is that faith, we say that we all have it. And yet, many times in many communities such as Gibsonburg, even though that we claim that we have it, those individuals that are not members of the faith, they really can't tell us what we stand for. In fact, in America, the majority of our country, they claim to be a Christian, and that's very true. And the trouble is that many times in the lives of those people who claim Christianity as their belief, as their life system, and those who don't even claim to have any affiliation with Christianity, there is little to no difference between the two. And that's troublesome to me. I'm reminded of the images this past week that we saw on the news of all the children who were here illegally being taken to various states. And I'm just going to share with you that what I'm probably about to say is probably going to ruffle some feathers, and I'll just ask you not to meet me in the parking lot after the service. Okay, so just a little disclaimer there. And I think of those images and the various responses to what should be done and how we should solve this problem had people in many different areas of thought. They were across the board, all over the place. An agreement has yet to be reached. And here's my struggle. If the majority of Americans claim Christianity, claim to be part of the Christian faith, ought not there be more of a common ground of what we should do, how we should act? And should there not be more of a resemblance of what we should do and how we should be unified? And I would have to say, I think so. Julie just read the verse, Hebrews 11:1, and when we talk about faith, it's often defined by citing Hebrews 11:1, and that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. We spend time and time, and we spend too much time, in my opinion, in our Christian journey discussing the things of heaven and even speaking of the evidence of those things that we have not seen. And we don't spend enough time of what are the evidences of our faith in our life. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about what differentiates us from other people who don't claim Christianity. And we're going to find this morning that James, the half-brother of Jesus, meaning Jesus was fully man, fully God, and James was from Mary and Joseph. He was Jesus' half-brother. And he would define faith in the following manner. He would say, faith is not believing in spite of evidence, meaning faith is not believing because we don't have enough evidence. He would say, faith is this. Faith is obeying in spite of the consequences. Meaning when push comes to shove, when it costs you and me something, when we're really called to be stepping out and saying, it's going to cost me time, money, resources, it's going to cost me these things, we still obey where God is leading. We still obey where God is calling us to go. We still obey what God is asking us to do. James's answer is that by our faith, things should be seen in and through our lives, and the evidence of our faith is what our lives produce. The works we do, the evidence of our belief, it will always be shown through our actions. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, he put it this way in Luke 6, verses 43 through 46. Listen to the words of Jesus. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, this person's mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? You see, when we come to Christ and we place our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we will always have a heart change if it is true saving faith. It will always happen. And the fruit of our lives will always be the product of our heart disposition. If we're in a love relationship with Christ, then the fruit of our lives, if you ever notice, the fruit on trees are not produced for the tree itself. And this is why the question, what is Trinity United Methodist Church known for, bothers me so much. It bothers me because the fruit that we produce is not for us. It is not for the body of believers in Jesus Christ. It is for those on the outside to see the evidence of our faith and what we believe in action. St. Francis of Assisi, he made this statement. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Too often times we emphasize the using of words, and we go and we tell and we try to share and we try to speak, you know, the holy written truths into the people's lives. And in all reality, what they're saying is show me what you believe. Show me through your actions. Show me through your heart of compassion. Show me through your love for me. Show me through your care and your concern for these individuals. And Jesus, he himself said it as well. The fruit of our lives will always be the product of our heart. Jesus said, a good person out of the good treasure of their heart brings forth good, and an evil person out of the evil treasure of their heart brings forth evil. You see, the evidence of our faith, which is our actions, and it will always be our actions. Our works will always be a product of the condition of our heart. You need to understand that. Let's turn to our text this morning, which is found in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. And I don't know what it is, but I feel like every week I'm fighting the clock. I'm serious. It's like 10 till right now, and I'm thinking, like, where did the time go? Where does time go? But follow along as we look at James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. James says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit them? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? You see, in this passage, we could see he would give two examples if we would read on in verses 21 through 26, that he gives us the example of Abraham and the example of Rahab. And really what James is trying to enforce and impress upon our hearts, our minds, and souls is the aspect of a dynamic, living faith. And there's other types of faith, a dead faith, a demonic faith. And yes, I said demonic faith, and we'll talk about those briefly here this morning. The type of dynamic faith that is real, it's put to the test and it's shown throughout our actions, through our lives. It's this type of faith that has power. It's the type of faith that results in changed lives. This type of dynamic faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior is true saving faith. And true saving faith has to have and include, and it will always possess three elements. And this is important. It'll possess a mental component, an emotional component, and a volitional, or an act of a submission of our will. And any one of these elements in and of themselves will never be enough to bring salvation to a person's soul. You and I, you and me, we must possess all three. And I'm here to tell you that there's intellectuals out here that they speak on a level that I will never be on. What Jesus is saying is he's saying that faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequence. You could look at Matthew 16:24, and Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him or her deny themselves, take up their cross, and then follow. It's an act of submission of the will that is lost many times. Even the demons believe, and they have this mental intellectualism going on. In Christendom, as I mentioned, we have many people who are on a quest to search for various evidences of their faith. In the mindset, you have the intellectuals who fall into the trap of intellectualism, memorizing this scripture and memorizing this passage and applying this and learning that and looking up this and reading that. Do this and do that. And friends, there truly is value in ingesting the Word of God. However, when it stops only there and produces no lasting change in actions or behavior, then friends, it's a dead faith. It has to be moving outward. It has to be moving through us. It can't just stop up here in our mind. We should read our Bibles and we should memorize scriptures. We should spend time in meditation over the holy written Word of God. We should spend time in Bible study and we should seek to know and understand God's Word. But it has to be more than mere intellectualism. It has to be more than mere head knowledge. The second category is you have those who fall into the trap of emotionalism, and they work themselves up into a sense of fervor and this sense of emotional-driven feeling. And it is true that emotions are a part of our life. We feel. Yes, we should feel. And God created us in His image, and therefore we have emotions because God has emotions. But when we fall into the trap of feelings, we're missing the point. We cannot search for evidence of our faith in either what we know or what we feel, because faith is not some nebulous feeling which we work up, but it is confidence that God's word is true, and it's conviction that acting upon that word will bring His blessing. Listen to the following story as I close here this morning. Legend has it that a man was lost in the desert, just dying for a drink of water. He stumbled upon an old shack, a ramshackled, windowless, roofless, weather-beaten old shack. He looked about this place, and he found a little shade from the heat of the desert sun. As he glanced around, he saw a pump about 15 feet away. It was an old, rusty water pump. He stumbled over to it, and he grabbed the handle, and he began to pump it up and down, and he pumped it, and nothing came out. Disappointed, he staggered back. He's looking around, and he noticed off to the side an old jug. He looked at it, and he wiped away the dirt and the dust, and he read a message that said, "You have to prime the pump with all the water in this jug, my friend. P.S. Be sure you fill the jug again before you leave." So he pops the cork out of the jug, and sure enough, it was almost full of water. Suddenly, he was faced with the decision. If he drank the water, he could live. But if he poured all the water in the old rusty pump, maybe it would yield fresh, cool water from down deep in the well. All the water and all the fresh and cool water he would want. He studied the possibility of both options. What should he do? Should he pour it into the old pump and take a chance on fresh, cool water? Or should he drink what was in the old jug and ignore its message and live? Should he waste all the water on the hopes of these flimsy instructions written on the jug, no telling how long ago they were written? Reluctantly, he poured all the water into the pump. Then he grabbed the handle and he began to pump. Squeak, squeak. Still nothing came out. Squeak, squeak, squeak. A little bit began to dribble out, then a small stream, and finally it gushed out. To his relief, fresh, cool water poured out of the rusty pump. Eagerly, he filled the jug and drank it. He filled it another time and once again drank its refreshing contents. Then he filled the jug for the next traveler. He filled it to the top, popped the cork back on, and he added this little note. "Believe me, it really works. You have to give it all away before you can get anything back." You see, true faith, my friends, is an act of submission of the will. And we must approach God. We must live a life, a Christian life, that goes beyond just a mere mental belief. It has to go beyond a mere grieving over our sin and a grievous feeling of our inadequacies and the mistakes we've made. True saving faith is obedience in spite of the consequences. The images of those children, I just have to think. And it really bothers me. I just wonder what we would do here. I don't wonder. I know what I would do. If busloads of kids would come in here, I know what I would do. Because we, as believers, we are called to see people as human beings created in the image of God, to see people created in the likeness of our living Lord, and to see them for what they are, not to see them as some political pawn somewhere. Now, I am not trying to get into the political arena here, but what I am calling us to is to view people as God's creation and to view them with the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ, with compassion. If you'll remember with me, he wept over Jerusalem because he saw the people who were harassed and they were pushed around and they were not being treated well. We have that in our world. If we truly, mentally say we believe and emotionally are moved, then what breaks Jesus' heart will break our heart. What moves his heart and his soul will move our heart and our soul. And friends, then the next question will always be, will we be willing to step out? Will we be willing to go where God calls us to go, to do what God calls us to do? And yes, as Jesus said, if you want to follow me, Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. It's a costly endeavor, friends. If it weren't, churches would be full all over. But I'm here to tell you, it'll cost you time, money, resources. It'll cost you your patience. It'll cost you the very element of what you want to have in your life. But yet, dynamic faith, it obeys God, and it proves itself in daily life and works. And as I mentioned, those images of those children, I wonder where the churches are. We need to step up. We need to possess dynamic faith. As we close, my challenge to us all, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, he said, examine yourselves, examine myself, as to whether you and I are in the faith, to test ourselves, to see, and that's my desire for all of us, to follow the instructions of the Apostle Paul, to see. And as we move throughout the next week, may we all examine our lives and answer the question, are we willing to obey God in spite of what it may cost us? Are we willing to follow the Lord in spite of where he may call us to go? Are we willing to obey in spite of the consequences obedience to our risen Lord may bring? Let us pray. Gracious God, we humbly thank you, Lord, that you didn't consider the consequences of what God was calling you to do, Jesus. But yet we know you fraught with it. You wrestled with the Lord, and you finally came to the conclusion that you said, not my will, but yours be done. And Father, may you find the same heart in us that's in you. May we wrestle with those things you're calling us to do, but may we all come to the realization and say, not our will, Jesus, but yours be done. May the fruit of our lives be evidence of our walk with you. May the fruit in our lives be the evidence of our journey with you. And Jesus, may we go beyond a mere mental understanding and a mere emotional feeling. May we go to the point where we are submitting our desires and our will unto your will and what you have for us. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you. And may we obey in spite of what the consequences are as you lead. We praise you and honor you. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
If you would like to just stand and join us as we praise our Lord and bring this meeting to a close.
Turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of angels are the sound of angels' songs, and all this for a king. could join and sing. All to Christ the King. How constant, how divine. This song of ours will rise. Oh, how constant, how divine. This love of ours will rise. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. He is holy. He is holy. Turn your gaze to heaven and raise a joyous noise. The sound of salvation come, the sound of rescued ones, and all this for a King. Angels join to sing, all for Christ our King. Oh, praise Him.
Amen.
Church, go out and praise God this week. As you go out into your cars, I don't know how you want to be known in this little town, but I want to be that crazy church lady sitting at the stop sign praising God with her radio turned to 97.7, or out there pulling weeds in my yards with their little earbuds plugged in, singing praises to Jesus. I want to be that one. That's how I want to be known to this town. So you just drive by my house and you join in on my song, will you? Go forth and praise God this week. Amen.